And as they head out, I want to invite you to flip to the back of your service flyer, and you'll see our text for today. And let me read it to you. It comes from John chapter 14. Jesus says these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, good morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Justin. I'm one of the associates here at Grace, and I'm delighted to be preaching to you here on Biker Sunday. I've been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy to get ready for today. Some of you shouldn't know what that is. But I'm excited to preach to you today as we talk about our sermon series that continues, Liar, Liar. And today we talk about all roads lead to God. And it's an interesting lie that our culture believes, and we get to try and tackle that here today. I want to start by saying this. We all know that every great superhero has an arch nemesis. This is just natural for every superhero. The superhero is the good, the powerful, and the arch nemesis is evil. And they're usually, you know, like some mutant or some machine or just some evil person. And I want to let you know this because today I want to open by telling you that I actually possess some superhuman powers. You might not have known that about me, but I do. Now, hear me out. I'm trying to be very humble to you all and not have a lot of pride. But I have some superhuman power. I also have weaknesses, don't get me wrong. Spelling, that's one of my weaknesses. I'm actually very terrible at it. True story, in third grade, during the spelling bee in class, I was asked Wednesday. That was my word, Wednesday. Here's the sad thing. I misspelled it. And the worst part about that was it was literally written on the board in front of me, and I forgot the N. And so I'm admitting to you, I have my weaknesses, spelling is one of them, but I also have some superhuman powers. And like most men, we all have this power. I have it more than some, and it's the power of navigation. I am the ultimate navigator. I have to admit this to you because there is not a single place or road or time that I am driving that I don't know exactly where I need to go and how to get there. I don't need any help. I don't need any correction. I am the ultimate navigator. And my wife can attest to this. We can go somewhere once and 3 years later, I will know exactly how to get there. My wife will also attest to you that there are sometimes gaps in my ability with navigation. And this becomes a point of contention because as my superhuman power exhibits itself, my wife possesses my arch nemesis. And that is her GPS on her cell phone. And see, how it goes down is this. We will be driving somewhere, and then I will inevitably begin to get some questions. She will say, "Weren't we supposed to be there 15 minutes ago?" And a red flag goes up, and I say, "Oh, something's coming." And then she says, "What is the address again?" And that is like the bat signal for me. I know right away the battle is ensuing because she is then typing in where we are going, and it is now me versus the machine. And so immediately it'll start spinning out, "Turn right here, backtrack, go this way." And I say, no, I got this. We're going straight and we're taking a left. And she says, no, it says to take a right up here. No, trust me, I got this. And so then I go past what it tells me to do, you know, and she starts coming at me. That little Australian voice, she starts telling me, "Recalculating, turn around, recalculating, turn around." I say, no, I know what I'm doing. And so Joe will say, "So this says that the path you're going is going to take 7 minutes longer than the actual path." And I say, "Oh, really? What?" And I say, "I'm going to win this battle, okay?" But here's the thing. Here's the thing between my battle, between her GPS and I, is it cheats. Because I'm not all-knowing. It knows that the path I'm trying to take, there is construction ahead, and that's what's going to slow me down. I can't know that. That's not fair. Or it knows that there are double the amount of red lights on this path versus the path it was telling me to take. I don't know these things. That's cheating. That's not fair. And see, here's the funny thing about my battle between her GPS and myself, is a lot of times I treat God the same way I treat her GPS. A lot of times in my life, I am the one saying, I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to go this course. I don't care what other signs are telling me to go elsewhere. And then once I absolutely get myself into a corner, paint myself into a corner, back into a mess where we are dead lost on some dirt road, then I will say, okay, turn on the GPS. Then I will admit, okay, I'm lost. And a lot of times I treat God the same way. A lot of times I say, God, I got this. Stay out of this. God, I'm going my path. God, I'm going this direction. God, this is what I want to do. God, you stay out of this. And then once I get myself into a corner in a black, dark hole place, totally lost, then I go to God and say, okay, bail me out. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Any of you got some problems being in control of your own navigation? Because see, what we're talking about here today is interesting because there's really two conversations. There's all roads lead to God, and we understand that as it comes to other religions. We understand that that's a lie when it comes to other religions, that all paths do not lead to the same place. But for us Christians today, we can't think, well, this doesn't apply to me. Because even in our Christian walk, we like to take paths that God does not want us to take. And we think, so long as the end goal is Him, I can take whatever path I want to get there. And God has news for us here today. Because see, the sad thing is I have to admit before you today that, contrary to my intro, I am just a mere mortal man. I have my flaws, I have my failures, and too often I am the one trying to dictate and control God and tell Him what I'm going to do rather than let the all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient God say, no, Justin, this is the way you need to go. You see, and the problem that we have in society is this, is we love our safety nets. We love our safety nets. There are so many technologies, there are so many systems, there are so many ways that we allow safety nets in our lives where we can stay in control, make mistakes, and something or someone will bail us out. You know, we have cars now that will literally stop themselves before you hit something else. We have computer programs that will literally come up with this rhetorical question to say, did you mean to push the button that will crash and ultimately destroy your computer? And you go, oh, no, thank you. Thank you for catching that. You know, we have safety nets everywhere we go to protect us. And the sad thing is they trick us into thinking we're actually in control. And a lot of times we treat God like that. I want to be in control because, God, I know you're my safety net, and you will catch me, and you will bail me out. And we get to be in control and live our lives and do what we want to do and be the master of our own domain because something or someone will bail us out. How many parents and children have this battle all the time? Of the parents coming and saying, you're just doing whatever you want because you know I will bail you out in the end. Sometimes literally, right? Remember, I've been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy. But this is our problem today, is when it comes to religion, we fall into this mindset as well. Sometimes we like to believe that we're in the driver's seat, that we're in the throne of our own life, and all of the religions are laid out before us as this pantheon, and we just get to skim through them all and just pick and choose as we want. We think we can sit there in the throne of our life and look at agnostic and atheist and Baha'i and Buddhism and Hinduism and Scientology and Muslim and Christianity, and we are the ones that get to say, well, you know what? The end desire that I want is this, and so I'm going to use this to get me there. As if we're in control of everything. And see, it's a very convenient lie to believe that all roads end up leading to God. It's a very convenient lie, and it's a very popular lie that no matter the path we choose when it comes to religion, all roads lead to the same God. All of them coexist together, and we all don't have the right answer. We're just all going to get there together. It's one true God, and it's one true afterlife, and just all roads go there. We can pick and choose any of them, and they will all take us to the same place. We can't go wrong. And we have this belief that God is so big and he's the only one out there. So anything we have worship, anything we follow, will eventually lead to him. And sometimes we actually come at it with our own mindset and we say, you know what, in the smorgasbord of religions, I'm actually going to not just pick one, I'm going to pick and choose what I want. I'm going to take a ritual from this one. I'm going to take a belief from this one. I'm going to take a practice from this one. And I'm just going to blaze my own new path. I'm just going to be the rebel of my own life and say, this is what I believe, this is who I am, and I have my own picking and choosing, and no matter what, it will lead me to God, because at the end, all roads lead to God. And I think as Christians, we can step back and we can say very clearly, and especially when we read our text for today, that's not true. We know that all religions do not lead to the same place. In fact, if you go to each individual religion, they will tell you that. You can't just pick and choose us. You have to have one or the other. And we know this to be true, that God says that there is only one path, there is only one way, and it's him. But I think as Christians, we have another struggle. Because I think we like to pick and choose our own destination with God as well. You know, we put God out before us, and so long as we stay in the same ballpark, we feel like we can just kind of navigate our own little path to him. You know, we as Christians hear that we are supposed to rely on God for everything, that we are supposed to find our happiness in him, our joy in him, our peace in him, our understanding in him, that those are the things that we're supposed to run to God for. He will give us all those things. But what's interesting is in our own lives, while he is the end goal, we say, you know what, but I can find happiness elsewhere. I'm going to aim towards God, but I can find peace elsewhere. I can find understanding elsewhere. And so we begin to plot our own little course, our own little road that we just assume ends up at God. And so for some of us, as we chase our pursuit of happiness, for us, our temple is the mall. And while it sounds so innocent and so convenient, oh, they just go and shop, the truth is it's much deeper and sadder than that, that people go to the mall because they believe in what they're buying is going to truly bring them the happiness they desire. And that in what they buy, that it's going to improve their life somehow to make them happy in their life. And what's sad is that we are beings made to worship. We worship in everything we do. If you are living and breathing, you are worshiping something. And so what's sad is we can begin to worship the temple of the mall believing that it has the answers to our problems. I can go and I can buy happiness. I can go and I can improve my life. Or for some of us, it's a little different. For some of us, we feel very small and insignificant. And so we want to attach ourselves to something bigger, something more powerful, something greater than ourselves. And so on a Saturday afternoon, we'll go out and we'll sacrifice a pig to the tailgate barbecue. And then we'll paint our face and we'll go into the stadium and we'll raise our hands in euphoria and scream together. And their win is our win because we are Vol Nation, right? And we feel bigger and more powerful than we are. We feel like we're a part of something grander than we could ever be ourselves. And we feel acceptance into a group. And you think you can't begin to worship that? Or for some of us, it's a little different. For some of us, we struggle with our health or our body image. And so every day we're at the gym. And we set these little goals for ourselves. And if we hit these goals, if we lose 10 pounds, then all of a sudden we feel like we are a better person because we have achieved our goal. Or we go because we really wrestle with worry and fear. And so if I can make myself healthy, if I can eat the right things, if I can exercise the right way, I can have control over my health. I can be in control. I don't need to fear it. I'm in control. Or for some of us, we just lack the self-confidence. We don't like the body we're in. We're not comfortable in the skin we're in. And so through eating or not eating or working out, we feel like we can mold our body into something that we can accept and that people would like about us. And we can begin to worship God the gym. Or for some of us, we can attach to politicians. And we can say, I see all the problems of our society, all that ails us, and I put my hope and my promise in these politicians. They're going to save us. They're going to fix it. Or for some of us, it's celebrities. We look at these celebrities and we try and dress like them. We try and sing like them. We follow them. And all we're really searching is for someone to think we're special, just like that celebrity is special. We want someone to delight in us. We want somebody to think we're great and unique and special and talented. And so we emulate and we idolize these celebrities. Or for some of us, it's nature. We think, you know what, I can't find peace in this world, so I go out and I camp or I go out and I get away from it all. When I'm in nature, then I am at peace, then I find that inner peace, and I am where I need to be. Or, welcome to our church, Biker Sunday. For some of us, it's our hobbies. For some of us, it's our rides. Where we think, you know what, I have this inner longing to let this rebel spirit out. I want to be different. I want people to think something about me. I ride my bike. I go out. I feel that wind in my face. I feel that freedom that I can't get anywhere else. Everywhere else in my life, I'm trapped. And through my rides, I am set free. My spirit is alive. I can escape. I can be alive. And so as we talk about this on Biker Sunday, you know, we look at this, and the thing you have to respect about bikers is they love the road less traveled. Not a lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to hit the dragon for a good time, right? But the bikers, that's them. That's the rebel spirit. That's them. They want to take the road less traveled. They want to go out there. They want to live the adventure. They want to have that experience. And a lot of us have that in our hearts where we say, I want to be something different than my everyday life. I can't find acceptance and peace at where I'm at. I need to chase after this. And so through our hobbies, through our riding, through our cars, whatever it is, we chase after something. And in the end, we always are going to fall short. Because we say our end goal is Christ, but yet we are getting really far off the main path. We are veering way off course. And so what happens is we try and complete our life, satisfy our lives with all of the side things. All of the things we want to dabble in. And so we sit there and we step back and we say, you know what? I want to learn more about Buddhism because I want to appreciate that culture and better understand that culture. And so I'm going to learn more about Buddhism. I'm going to grow in that idea and that mindset, learn about it, because that will help me better understand God. Or we say, you know what? I'm going to read these self-help books because I'm going to learn how to correct myself. I'm going to learn how to fix myself. I'm going to learn how to be the master of my own life, and that will fix me. That will help me. Let me ask you a question. I'm pretty new to marriage, only a couple years in, so you all help me, okay? If I came to my wife one night and I said, honey, I want to better understand you, and so I am going to dabble with other women. I'm going to flirt with them. I'm going to spend a lot of time with them. I'm going to take them out to dinner. I might even live with one for a while, and all of that is going to help me better understand you. Because if I experience all this other stuff, that's going to tell me more about you. Now, like I said, I'm new to my marriage. Tell me, how's that going to go? Can you give me some advice? Here's the thing. The scriptures tell us over and over again, and every time I hear this, it blows my mind. I just have to stop and think about what this truly means. It says over and over again that God is jealous for us. Not God is jealous of you. God is jealous for you. The God of the universe, the all-powerful being who has everything under his control, looks at you and says, I am jealous for you. I love you so much that I want all of your affection. I want all of your attention. I want all of your focus. I want to be number one in your life. I am jealous for you. Now imagine going to that God and doing the equivalent of what I said I would do to my wife. of going to them and going to that God and saying, I want to know more about you, and so I'm going to learn about Buddhism because that's going to tell me more about who you are. What do you think God says to that? He says, brilliant idea. I love it. Or we say, you know what, God, I want to better understand you, so I'm going to enjoy all the blessings you give me. I'm going to take all of the wonderful things that you give me, and I'm going to pour my life into them. I'm going to better understand them. I'm going to live out my life through these blessings, through the created things. I'm going to read the self-help books, and I'm going to fix myself apart from you. I don't need you. I'll fix myself. What do you think God says to that? Do you think he says, sounds like a winning plan? He is jealous for you. And the sad thing is we Christians believe, and we do this in all kinds of ways, and sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. We take all these side excursions thinking that it's okay so long as we say our end goal is Christ. So long as at the end I'm at that finish line, I can go way over here. I can go way over here. I can dabble in this. I can dabble in that. So long as I end up there, it's okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We live in a world where there are so many different voices competing with God's voice to tell us what to do. And here on Biker Sunday, as we talk about that rebel spirit, we know what it takes to be someone who is looked up to. We know what it takes to be someone who is a macho man or a strong woman. You know, we know. And is it the person that life overcomes them and so they let go and just let the wind blow them where it may? Or is it the person that holds strong in the storm and says, I know who I am and I know who my God is, and you're not going to sway me? Because here's the thing. Our text tells us two things, and I invite you to look back at it, the text from John. It tells us two things that God wants to tell you today. And the first one is this. Though we may live in a society that tells us all is relative, and we can embrace pluralism, and your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, Jesus comes to us in this text, and he is very clear, and he is very blunt with us. He said, there is one way. There is one truth. There is one life. There is one afterlife, and I am that way. I am that way. You can sit there and you can dabble in this and you can dabble in that, but it's just going to take you farther away from the truth that there is only one way, and it's me. There is only one truth, and it's me. And there is only one life, and it's me. Jesus says very clearly, there is one way. And we can be like Thomas. Thomas comes and he says, oh, well, tell us about that path. You know, we can come to Jesus and we can say, well, okay, God, you give me the blueprint so I end up at you, but I want to stay in control. And Jesus says, that's not how it works. See, there's one way, and it's follow me, and I'm in control, and I'm the boss, and you do what I do, you say what I tell you to say, you believe what I tell you to believe, and there is salvation at the finish line. There is salvation at the end of this road. But you got to stay on this road, and there's only one way to stay on the road, and that's me. I'm the answer to every question that you have. When you want to know who God is and what his purpose for your life is and how to have victory over this life, over sin, death, and the devil, the only answer out there is, oh, please tell me we know this. The only answer out there is, that's the only answer. That's it. And Jesus says, the answer is me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and that's it. But here's the other sad truth from this text that we have today. And it comes a couple of verses before this. Jesus says, I am going ahead of you to prepare a place for you, to prepare a room in my Father's house. What is he talking about? One word, what place? Heaven is the completeness of everything that we seek on this earth. It is the ultimate happiness, the ultimate joy, the ultimate peace. There's no sorrow, there's no shame. It is everything that we seek on this earth. And he says, I am going to prepare a place for you there. Here's the sad truth. Not every room he prepares is going to be filled. There are true consequences to people believing the lie that all roads lead to God. There are eternal consequences to people believing the lie that all roads lead to God. I don't know if you've ever had to have a time where you had to sit up and wait for your kid who was an hour past curfew, 2 hours past curfew, 3 hours past curfew, and step back and wonder, I hope everything's okay. My wife, she has an aunt and an uncle, and they lost their son one morning as he was going to school. He was in a car accident. And they have not touched his room since that day. Have not touched it. It is left exactly the way he left it. And it's been over a decade. And that room always speaks to the tragedy and the heartache that they experience. That empty room that is not filled. How sad for our God when he says, let me tell you how to get to your room. Let me tell you the place that I've prepared for you, the road that leads you to salvation. Let me tell you. And people say, well, that's nice, but I kind of want to go on my own little direction first. And they never end up making it to the room he's prepared. That's the tragedy of this lie, is that all roads do not lead to God. There is a devil out there who is trying to ensnare you and has schemes to pull you far away from Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, well, that sounds interesting. Let me try that for a while. Friends, I can't think of any other way to close the sermon than this. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes and pray together? Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us on the right path, the path that leads to you, that you would strengthen us, that you would embolden us, Lord, to seek that path all times and all places. And Lord, we pray for those that have veered off that path, that are lost and confused or trying to be in control of their own life, that think they have it all figured out. Lord, we pray that you would humble them, that you would break them of that spirit, and that you would bring them back in humility to you, to know that you are in control and it is your destiny. And Lord, we pray humbly that you would forgive us for the times where we've tried to do that, where we've tried to say that we were in control and we have taken our life in directions that you would not have us go. Because the truth, Lord, is this. You came to this earth and you had a path and you had a road laid before you that led to a cross. And you had so many options to do your own will. But you stayed upon that cross for us. And even while they yelled for you to come down and show yourself as God, you did not serve your will, you served the Father's will. And you died upon the cross for us. You were faithful to the road that you were given. Lord, help us live faithful to the road that we've been given. Help us stay true to you. And Father, we humbly come before you now in this time of confession. And we ask you and we implore you to hear our confession as we lift up before you the times that we have fallen short and gone on our own path. Lord, some of us right now might be far from you. Some of us might be near. You know exactly where we are in our road. Lord, we pray for forgiveness for the times where we tried to control everything ourselves. We ask for forgiveness for the people we've hurt along the way. And ultimately, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for all the times we hurt you along the way, where we didn't trust in your word, where we tried to find what we desired in this life elsewhere apart from you. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your strength. We ask for your renewal. And Lord, we thank you that you forgive us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. The good news is that God does forgive you. That he loves you so much. And he doesn't come to you and he doesn't say, hey, you know what? You messed up. Now you fix it yourself. You get yourself right with me. He comes before us and he says, I've taken care of it myself. I've paid your price upon the cross. and your sins are forgiven because of what I've done for you. And that's the good news that I have for you today. That because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, and nothing that you deserve and nothing that you did can ever change this. That because of what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross, today, upon your confession, your sins are forgiven and you stand right before God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.